Welcome back in to the national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Always and always, this hour, Real Kipper brought to you by Bet365. Should we just get Max 2 minutes of pushing his book out of the way so we can get to the really good stuff like Zadorov being traded and what he thinks of the Leafs and all of that good stuff?
Off the top, absolutely.
All right, Doug McLean, former NHL president, general manager, head coach, blah, 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 author of Draft Day, How Teams Pick Winners or Get Left Behind. Hey, is it true that Kyle Dubas has bought like 100 of these books to give out to his staff? Is that just a bad rumor?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. Like, a lot of people are doing that. I think that it would be a great suggestion, you know, to every team to buy it and, you know, have a look at it. But look, I hate to say, but I just got a note from the Globe and Mail today, again, 9 weeks in a row on the bestseller list. And what's really exciting is I'm heading to PEI next week for a function on Tuesday night, a fundraiser for the Western Capitals junior team. So we're going to do a book thing, George Matthews and I, a book thing for 20 minutes or so. And then Gerard Gallant is going to come in and do a hot stove with me. And they sold the event out, and I think they're going to raise $50,000 on the night. So I'm pretty excited about going to PEI and doing that with Gerard and having some laughs and selling some books.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great. So,
Look, I could be Ken Reed and out flog it in every arena in North America. At least I'm not doing that. Well, listen, I want to make a comment here before we start.
Oh no,
I've decided. I was thinking about this when I was down, just coming up from the pool. When I do this show, I want to be a radiator. I want to radiate positivity and just good comments and good things instead of being a drain. You guys are a bit of drains, and I want to be a radiator of positivity. That's what I want to be as I move forward in my life.
Yeah, you look to me more like a forced air guy.
It's funny, I was going to say, nobody's wanted a radiator in their house in 50 years, so it makes sense.
Or hot air. How about hot air?
All right. Anyway. Well, it's tough to... Okay. Well, I was going to ask you about the Leafs, and it's tough to radiate positivity. I know they're getting their points, Doug, but, you know, not the prettiest week for a team that got 4 points, was it?
Well, I watched their show or the game against Florida, And I really tried to watch it, you know, fairly closely because it was like a playoff game, you know, and I really wanted to get a feel for how they would battle in a game like that where it's in-your-face hockey. And it was in-your-face. And I'll tell you, the Panthers went after them. And as the game wore on, the Leafs got engaged. And I liked their game to a degree. But that's what they got to get ready for. And I keep telling you guys, I don't like their blue line. And now that they're banged up, it's even more critical.
Matthew Nyes, just get it out of your system right now.
Well, you know, I watched him fairly closely. And I, you know, he's a big body, he's skilled. He tries to do them things, but he's got to figure out that you've got to play the game hard. If he's going to be the impact player that you think he's going to be, and you've been on his bandwagon all year, I don't know what he's deserved to get in the top to play with Austin Matthews. I'm sorry. Maybe it's a last resort, but somebody should send him a note that you can't be that big and that skilled and play as soft as he does. I'm sorry. I know you guys don't like hearing it, and I know he's a kid, but he can play a lot harder than I've seen him play.
Yeah, it's been slow ever since the game where we thought we had you beat on the Matthew Nyes debate. You know, so the Leafs are one thing. You know, this is our national hour, so I'm not going to focus on them too much unless you had something else on the Leafs you wanted to ask, Kipper.
The fact that...
one thing I want to say. I've got a solution. I've been thinking all day, racking my brain out with this defense is so bad.
Okay.
Just play four forwards and one defense. Because they can't make line changes anyway. They're getting caught. Every time they go to the bench, it's too many men on the ice. So play four forwards and one defenseman, and they'd probably do just as well. So just throw that to Keith before, you know, before it disintegrates. Try it. Four forwards, one defense. The NHL used to do that in the 30s, so try it.
Maybe more realistic now that they didn't get in on Zadorov out of Calgary. He goes to Vancouver, Mac, and, you know, I was at the rink the other night, and someone may have suggested maybe ownership might not be willing to maybe deal with Brad as they would other teams. Did that stuff go on when you were either with Florida or Columbus or Detroit, where you just said, no matter how good the deal is, you know, I don't like you, I'm not dealing with you?
Well, you know what? It does go on. There's no denying that. I mean, look, Brian Murray replaced Bobby Clarke in Florida after Clarke went back. We were not making deals with the Philadelphia Flyers, I guarantee you that. And it does go on. And look, the owner in Calgary, Murray, like he's not an easy guy. And he would not be happy with a GM. Like, how many GMs walk away from a job? Well, you walk away from a job if you know you're going to get another one. That's when you walk away from a job.
So he's not overly pleased. And then, so I'm looking at this Flames team. They've created this cap space now by moving on from Zadorov. And then Vancouver, who they just traded to, is a good example of a team that didn't tear it down and rebuild, had some good pieces, and they're kind of doing a retool and having some success. Do you think that's what Calgary's doing right now? And is that even possible for them to kind of pivot without bottoming out?
No, I think they're going to have to bottom out because they've got too many guys that, you know, with contract situations and their key players in their team. Can they re-sign, you know, the key pieces, or are they going to make trades to, you know, look for the future? I've got to believe, you know, Craig's got time. The coach has got time. I think they will rebuild to a degree. I like what Vancouver's done. Obviously, Zadorov is a good pickup. It's not a great pickup. Let's not get carried away with Zadorov here. He's an okay pickup. He fits into the talking mold. It was really interesting last night with Vegas and them. Vegas have been a 500 team the last 10 games or so, and they embarrassed Vancouver last night. They went after them, and they played a playoff-style game, and Petrangelo was the beast for them. And that just shows how important that big blue liner is and how critical it is for playoff success. A blue line like Vegas is tough to beat, guys, when they get down to business. And they embarrassed the Canucks last night, but the Canucks have been real good. They've been a great story.
Is losing some games and then getting some help on the blue line, is that like good timing? Or would you have rather seen them work it out themselves a little bit first before pulling a trigger? Or you just can't pick and choose when players are available?
No, I think it was a good move on Zadorov, especially when you look at the price tag. You look at the price tag, and I had a third and a fifth. Okay, you know, Vancouver's got lots of good young players. I think they're well positioned. I don't mind that. I think it was a good deal for them and a smart move to solidify the back end. To me, he's a third pair guy at the worst. Is he a good Branson? Is he a good Branson from Columbus? That type of guy. To me, he sometimes doesn't think the game as well as you want him to. But he's a big 6'6" body. Tockett will like him, and he'll move some people. So I like the move for Vancouver, and I don't think they paid too big a price. And, hey, Beauvillier is a pretty good player, guys. Maybe he's not Rick Tockett's type of guy, but he is a decent player in the league.
So then I just want to ask you then about Canadian teams in general here. Because so the Canucks have, you know, off to this hot start. They make a trade. They're competitive. The Leafs have a ton of points despite not really playing their best. The Jets quietly. Who do you like in Canada? Is there a real Stanley Cup contender up here? And maybe it's the Oilers who are rising from the dead like the Undertaker gif.
Well, I think I do so many shows now. I can't remember what I said on each show, you know. But I think I said on your show a few weeks ago that I said the Oilers are going to make the playoffs. And, of course, you guys laughed at me.
I don't think anything.
And I was trying to be a radiator. I was trying to radiate positivity.
This doesn't sound like a thing that happened.
So I think I look at the Oilers and I think, are you kidding me? This is a Stanley Cup contender if they can figure it out. And do they have to fine tune their goaltender? I know they've been out looking, watching goaltenders. You know, they're in Columbus. They've followed around. It's been documented in the media how they've been looking. So who do they pick up? Do they pick up Jake Allen? What about a kid like Primo? I mean, he's had a good year in Montreal. Is he a guy, that type of guy, a younger guy? So I still think the Oilers are the best Canadian team, unless the Leafs can figure out some way to fix what they've got going on.
Did you mention a couple of weeks ago that you thought the Oilers weren't in jeopardy of missing the playoffs? Was that you?
I said they were going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even with their goaltending with Skinner?
Even with Skinner, they make the playoffs.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hey, I've been saying it too here, but I've been fighting these two clowns.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Look,
okay. If they make it, does Ottawa too? They get Shabbat back. I think there's some. Maybe a cap issue there, or they're right up against it to bring him back. But is in your world, you also see Ottawa staying in the mix here?
No, I don't see Ottawa now getting in. I think, like, you know, as I said to Jeff Rimmer, my good friend today, I said, Jeff, get a lot of sleep today, because if you lose tonight to Ottawa, you are not making the playoffs. And if Ottawa lose tonight, they are not making the playoffs. It you look at the points after 20 games, it's not Thanksgiving like you guys all talk about in Canada. That's all BS. I don't know where that came from, 32 thoughts or somewhere. That it's 20 games, boys. It's not Thanksgiving. It's 20 games.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now there's a lot of teams that are almost out of it, out of the mix. And Ottawa and Columbus are both out of the mix as far as I'm concerned, unless a miracle happens.
So then the Leafs are playing the Boston Bruins, who have been, you know, number one in their division. Are they, you know, if we're looking at true cup contenders here in a salary cap era, it feels like no one can pull that far away. Do you have the Bruins as the top dogs, Rangers, Vegas? Who is it that you got on top here?
I don't have the Bruins. I watched them a couple of times last week, guys. They were awful.
Oh, really?
They were awful. Now, I know they won last night, but they have not played very well lately. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch Jimmy Montgomery here, how he grabs a hold of this and gets this team. I mean, they were really good early on. I get it. To me today, I think the Rangers are the best team, guys. As much as I hate to say it, and I will not say it in front of Gerard Gallant, but the Rangers are the best team in the NHL right
now. He set them up for success. That's what Gerard did.
Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did, you know?
Got to ask. And just, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
How am I radiating?
Oh, my gosh. That's never happened to us in like 20 years. No, you go. We're usually jumping all over each other to go.
By the way, Nick, you missed a major controversy last week. I do the Chirp podcast with Darren Millar.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize I did not mention his name in my book.
Oh, he's got to be sour.
And he asked me if I was in the book, if he was in the book, and I had the book next to me, and I looked it up, and I went to the index. No Darren Millard mentioned in the damn book. And I said to him, Darren, I feel terrible about it, but I didn't mention my brother and sister either.
Yeah, that's good then. You're fine.
So he's like
so
family.
So I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
So fine. Just tell him you're like family. I got to ask you, Mac, as we watched the whole saga unfold with the Chicago Blackhawks and Corey Perry, you know, was there anything that could have been done differently to avoid that internet circus or not? It's just too big of a beast.
Look, I didn't like it. I really didn't. I thought, I don't know what happened, but after what has transpired in Chicago the last, you know, obviously in the last couple of years, you have to be 100% prepared to go. And the fact that it went for 2, 3, 4 days where teammates were saying, we don't know what's going on. Luke Richardson was saying, I don't know what's going on. And then it starts to affect a teammate, a kid on their team. I didn't like it, how it went for a couple more days of that. So you've got to be ahead of that. You've got to be out in front of that and move on it quickly. And look, maybe they didn't have enough information, but I didn't like it. I thought it was, again, I didn't think they handled it well. And that's just my own opinion. And when it starts to affect your dressing room, I mean, it was ugly, guys. It was ugly how it transpired throughout the rumor mill. And that's the last thing they need.
When you ran a team, obviously you have your people that you trust in your PR department, but was there ever an opportunity where you could outsource something for damage control, or you lean towards the league? What is the protocol, Mac? Is there one?
Well, the only protocol I had was the night before our home opener in Columbus. I was already dealing with the mascot quitting. Remember I told you that?
Some heavy, right. Really heavy stuff.
Yeah, but I was barbecuing the night before the home opener out in the backyard. I get a call from Lyle Odeline, my captain, before our first inaugural game. And Lyle says, Doug, it's Lyle. I said, yeah, Lyle, I know who it is. He said, I just got charged with impaired driving. I said, the night before our home opener, you just got charged with impaired driving? And how did I stay ahead of it? I had our lawyer contact the community where he was charged, and we tried to get make sure it was out in the suburbs, and boom, boom, boom. And it didn't. And when I got fired, Aaron Portsline reported it and said, oh, I see Lyle Odeline was charged with impaired driving. I said, you were 6 years late on that one, Aaron. Sorry, buddy. So anyway, sometimes you got to do whatever it takes.
It's got to. I know the world's changed since then, but the first thought is you try to keep stuff in-house and try to bury stories. Is that still the first instinct out there?
I think you don't try to bury it because you get in trouble. I think it's more you do what you can legally to make. I always went to our legal counsel and said, and our PR guy, and said, okay, where are we with this? How do we solve this? And I had a ton of issues that I could never repeat. Like, it was scary what you faced over, a course of 10 years in one place. It was unbelievable. But you do it legally, you do it with your in-house people, and you try to handle it and get in front of it. And I know sometimes, and look, I don't know what really went on in Chicago. I don't know the circumstances. I just didn't like how players were constantly put on the spot. Teammates were, coaches were, and then all of a sudden, what was it, 3 days, 4 days later,
even Kyle Davidson, I mean, sitting there by himself trying to handle this story, there's parts of me that said I felt sorry for him.
Yeah, like this is a young GM in the league with limited experience, but the amount that organization has talked about, how to handle difficult, challenging situations, I would have thought the media department, the hockey department would have come a lot quicker on that. Look, how long does it take to suspend a guy? I don't know. But it just, the way it was said, he's left the team, he's not with the team, indefinite, and then all of a sudden, every media person in North America was checking this out. So unfortunate for everybody. It really is.
Do you think less stuff happens today than it did, 10, 20 years ago? Like, do you think that, the level of commitment it takes now to make the NHL, maybe it's an even higher level. Do you think players are on better behavior than they used to be? Or do you think there's still, if you're in a place for 10 years, you deal with endless problems over the years?
I would say you deal with endless problems. I really do. I think I know the players are in terrific shape. They train, they eat probably, but there's still a lot of problems to deal with. There's still a lot of fires to put out. And, you know, it was some amazing challenges, to be quite honest. And I actually had to trade a couple of guys because it got so bad. And, you know, it was not the fun part of the job, to say the least.
Aren't you happy when you walk down the beach or get into your RV or your Porsche that you don't have to deal with this crap anymore?
I do, but I kind of miss the paycheck.
So got you where you are
today.
But
you know what? I sort of, you know, you live with when you see a certain situations happening. Like, I've always really liked Corey Perry. He's had a wonderful career. I hate to see this end for Corey like that. The Blackhawks have been through a lot. You hate to see that. You hate it to see teammates being dragged through the mud, families. It was an awful. Guys, I have not seen many situations that rumors spread like that one spread. I've never seen that, guys, in all my time in the NHL, that it was ever that bad.
Yeah. Let's just hope that there can be some healing process all the way around here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
In the near future.
You know, you guys are pissing me off. I came here on this show to try to be positive. I'm trying to radiate positivity. And you keep throwing negative things at me, and I'm having a hard time dealing with it.
I got to be honest with you. We got you on a Zoom call, and I'm looking at your shirt, and that's the biggest radiant I'm getting right now. Either you're getting ready for bed, or you're going clubbing.
I like it.
I can't make out that shirt
that's
right now.
That's a great shirt.
It is a great shirt, and I'm. You know what? We're going to, with friends. We're going to La Violetta. We had an intense pickleball game this afternoon with our neighbors. They're coming over for drinks at 5:30, five minutes from now, by the way. And we're going to have cocktails, and then we're going to La Violetta, a great Italian place, and just try to relax after a very stressful pickleball afternoon. And this morning I walked the beach. I'm just ready for an easy night.
Sorry to keep you from the early bird special, Doug. I know it's 5:22 already.
and the name of the restaurant is Peter Laviolette.
It's his wife's place, yeah. Laviolette's.
Laviolette. Yeah, great spot. It's a great old Italian. You'd like it. An old Italian style place. You'd really enjoy it. Okay. If you guys ever get down here, I'll take you there.
All right.
I think SN's budget will bring us there. I'm sure they'll send us to visit.
And they'll give us three drink coupons each.
You know what? Here. Tell Sam I will not put in for the pay for this show for a month. And then we'll treat you guys for dinner.
It's a deal. All right, Mac, thanks for doing this, man.
Thanks, Mac.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yes, yes. Doug McClain, world-renowned author.
9 weeks, bestseller.
I went and hung out with, went to a golf course and saw Scott Morrison tell some stories, the co-author with him.
Yes.
Talked to Scott about the writing process with Doug.
Yeah.
Scott's a great guy. It's nice to spend some time with him.
What do you need? Another year or two before you write a book?
A book?
Yeah.
I can't write a lineup.
I screw up every day.
I can't write a lineup. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why I'm here. But
good luck, pal.
You know what? We'll figure it out eventually.
It's funny. Hey, just some breaking news from the Devils that Dougie Hamilton had surgery today on a torn pec. So he's out a really long time. Yeah.
Ay.
They've caught some bad injury bug breaks, eh?
Yeah. They're fortunate Luke Hughes didn't get hurt after he got absolutely turned into powder by Garnet Hathaway.
Right. Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to do some game time?
Go to game time, and then we'll take a break. I'm taking charge here because you're bad on that.
I'm reading my lineup here, see if I can read my writing. I'm just going to put together my lineups and put it as my memoirs and put it out.
Sounds good.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, yesterday, fellas, I checked in on the Ohtani watch.
Ooh.
And so this weekend, apparently it's supposed to be heating up here. This weekend, Jeff Passan wrote an article today. I'm not sure if you saw the figures being thrown around, Kipper. I know you'll love this.
600?
600 mil was the number between 500.
USD? So he's getting a billion Canadian? I know that math is not quite correct, but we're getting
The updated odds now are the LA Dodgers are minus 125 and the Toronto Blue Jays are plus 250.
Ooh, their odds are getting better.
So
plus 300 yesterday.
And the Cubs are the close ones, the closest at 8-1. So it's a pretty clear line here that it's come down to the Toronto Blue Jays and the Los Angeles Dodgers for who ends up with Shohei Ohtani's services for next
season.
Really
rich people never choose Los Angeles.
It kind of coincides with...
Have you seen the traffic there? We don't have traffic here. It's fine. Yeah.
The Bo rumors about Chicago.
Bichette.
Yes.
Straight to Chicago. What?
Yeah, didn't you hear those last week?
I saw that they was like, if,
isn't that not connect the dots,
Shohei
Sammy?
If Shohei happened, then something else would have to happen.
I think you should just keep your good players.
They can't.
That's a nice idea.
There's no cap. Just keep them all and bring more guys in.
Yeah, no. That's not the way they think. If they're going to go spend 600 sheets.
600? What does it even mean?
They probably got to get rid of Vladdy or Bo, one of them.
And I know who I'd choose.
600 mil.
Not to get too down the weeds of baseball takes here, but I'll tell you right now who
Vladdy's
I'd choose.
Done?
Yeah, he's gone. $600 million? What are we talking about?
That is a lot of money. And, I mean, let me put my little Zag hat on here quickly. We sure we want to give a guy with a 30-year-old is a wonky arm?
Well, no.
$600 million?
It's a reasonable Zag.
Thank you.
Would that be over...
He's not pitching
10 years,
next year.
11 years, for 12
sure.
years.
I mean, they would. The max amount of dollars in the max amount of time is Ohtani. Like the most and the most.
So he's looking at 60 times 10.
Probably. Yeah. Pretty good. And the record signing was his old teammate, Mike Trout, which I think was 450.
That goes down as like, well, the contract alone is like the biggest in history, but like there's no, like for a Canadian story,
there's be nothing not, close. Not
even, like, well, Gretzky would just.
Everyone's like, Gretzky takes half a million
Gretzky's
too much.
Gretzky's in the late 80s. I'm sorry, at 15 million cash. Like
that's wild.
It's wild, absolutely wild. I'll never forget being at the Fitness Institute and hearing about Gretzky being traded, and my jaw just dropped.
Yeah.
So, I think a worthwhile. And my boy Gunner on the morning show was texting me about this that. The only closest thing for Toronto would be Tavares, because Tavares signing here was a massive deal. But to have like singular in Toronto, that's a huge deal. But this is a worldwide story.
Yeah.
If Shohei Ohtani signs here, it's a countrywide story. It's a worldwide story. That's hard to say. So there you go. So just keep an eye on that.
I think the math isn't as bad as people think. If you're going to go spend
in terms of would you get your money back?
Yeah. Well, just what you can generate with it.
Well, you know, the global brand thing is key, but what if he is just okay? What if he's good? What if he's just like pretty good over that time? Don't you need him to be the best person on earth for like
he
at
needs
least
to be
half the time?
He needs to be the greatest baseballman that's ever lived.
Yeah, and he may be.
Robot Island.
That's how it works. Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty palatial island. Holy.
What is the insurance on a contract?
With everybody else, the Lou Lamoriello sent. Find a way.
All right.
Get him off the books.
LTIR.
Yes.
the insurance company's like, sorry, what?
So I just want to quickly put in one more thing here, future, the Jack Adam Award. I just check all these before we go into this. Peter Laviolette has moved all the way up to second at plus 750 for the New York Rangers, which makes a lot of sense because they're humming and...
Behind Talkin?
Talkin is still 5-1 as the favorite. But I'm sure they will.
The Canucks are kind of scuffling.
You can't lose. You can't string losses and stay atop.
I'm sure they'll adjust that accordingly because they're heading in separate directions. Yeah. Those two teams, and that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, Sammy.
600.
Be a producer
million.
Now. Are we going to break?
Yeah, 600 million. Yeah, yeah. Let's go to break.
Okay, we got some texts. 590, 590. Please write us in.
The first text I will read. No one is worth $600 million. What a joke from Jason and Pickering.
That might be a totally valid point.
I think it's fair.
I think it is.
I'm going to contradict that after the break. Okay. Jari scores a goal.
Yeah, we talk about that. Tons of
you mentioned
still.
Hathaway and his big hit last night in Philadelphia, and Tortorella had a few things to say about that, didn't he?
How about Konechny went after Smith, yeah, who slashed him?
Okay,
like,
so
like lots of things.
Plenty of meat on the bone here, still on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Do not go away. We'll be right back.
Covering the Raptors in depth like no one else. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always nice to leave it to Doug McClain to drive our show off a cliff every once in a while.
And I need to shove something.
Got to feel a little bit for Lyle Oatline, yeah, who's just somewhere minding his own business. And Doug wants to tell everybody that the night before...
Oh, you're doing it again. Now you're doubling down. Maybe everybody forgot.
I can only... I can only imagine now Lyle sitting at home somewhere enjoying his night, and either he's getting a text or maybe it's, you know,
just got a
maybe it's a loved one going up and saying, you know, you got a drinking and driving charge the night before a season opener. And he's like, that was 25 years ago. Leave me alone. Oh, by the way, I fought that guy one night in Washington.
Yeah.
And I had to like soak my head in a bucket for 3 days straight after that.
He was a tough player. Holy smokes.
Really, yeah, really tough.
Yeah, he spent some time in the sim bin over his career.
Yes, he did.
2,316 minutes.
All right, where do we want to start? Tristan Jarry scores a goal. Is that a big deal?
It is.
Still?
Yeah, I think it is.
Very.
It is.
It's cool. You see it a lot like in lower leagues. You see it in like junior and the AHL. Yeah. You see these like grainy potato videos of it. But when it has...
They're all similar, though,
no,
right?
Sure.
But you grab it, you put it down, you fire it down.
I watched every single one. There's 17 in NHL history, and I watched them all today. There's a shocking amount where teams shoot it in their own net.
Yeah.
Like
the last touch,
them,
the last touch is the goalie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so to cleanly do it like that.
Listen, before there was Ron Hextall, there would still be goalies wanting to do that, right?
Yeah.
No
yeah.
one could ever do it. Ron Hextall, actually, it was Tom Barrasso.
And I hate saying the word goated.
Tom Barrasso was the first guy. He's not on the list, is he?
Barrasso?
Tom Barrasso.
He has one? An empty
net? No, I'm asking.
Oh,
he's not on the list.
I don't think so, no.
He doesn't have
so.
One.
No.
But he was the very best. It was almost non-existent that the goalies handled the puck until this guy came out of high school.
And then, like, Turco and Brodeur and these
and
guys.
And then Hextall.
Yeah.
Hextall had the curved wooden stick, too.
So these are the list of the goalies that have actually scored a goal.
Okay.
Because there's, like they said, there was the ones at the last touch.
Yeah.
Ron Hextall has two, which is badass.
And his, by the way, are unbelievable. One of them, the Rapids, going 100 miles an hour. He gets behind, knocks it down, fires it. It's sick.
Osgood.
Yeah.
Brodeur.
Yeah.
Jose Theodore.
The worst one ever.
Evgeny Nabokov. Uh-huh. Mike Smith. Pekka-Rinne. Linus Ullmark, which was last year. And Tristan Jarry.
Jarry's might be the cleanest. The Theodore one I make fun of only because his was the only one on the backhand. He just two-mitt shoveled it up in the sky and it trickled down there. Yeah.
But he, like, that was a borderline toe drag from Jarry.
Yeah,
like,
he ripped it. He shot it, I can tell you, because I had AWS edge data. It was like 55.8 miles per hour or something. He ripped it.
I just think that when you are a goaltender in the best hockey league in the world and you score a goal, that's one of the most badass things that can happen. I think it's amazing.
Yes.
It really is. But you don't care, Kippy.
No, it's fine. It's highly skilled play. I get it. I'll watch it.
It does nothing for you.
It just does
it
nothing
does,
for me.
It it's does like, little for me. Okay.
Oh, really?
It's something.
It's a lot
but I would tell
it's
you,
cool.
though, if I was on the Pittsburgh Penguins right now and I'm Raquel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, does that none?
Jarry has one more goal than
Jarry
me.
Jarry currently leading.
Would really bother me.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
Raquel's got, he's got like a 30-goal year, doesn't he?
I he was good.
Who else is on that list?
On his team?
Yeah, there's a few guys spotting goose eggs.
Yeah, I would be hammering them if I was Jarry.
Yes.
Oh, that one is getting mentioned every day.
I'd be like, listen, he's got way more TOI than I do.
And the team they beat last night, Tampa, they're looking so hot.
They're, I know, Coop was not so happy.
Third in a row. Hot and cold.
Third in a row they lost.
You don't
know
what to make of them.
That Kucherov turnover at the blue line on Crosby's goal, you sent us that clip. You live and die with Cooch. You mostly live, but sometimes you die hard.
And how about Sid's goal? Just walks in, takes two steps over the blue line, just bar down. God, he's so good.
Good hockey man.
We mentioned Hathaway smoking Luke Hughes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, he relaxed. He thought he was getting a whistle. And he doesn't. Course. And that...
Are you looking it up? I was looking it up, too.
That prompted John Tortorella to talk about bigger picture stuff on how guys are now
too relaxed.
Okay, good. Tort says, I'm glad the kid, Luke Hughes, isn't hurt. A really good player, young man in this league, but there's a problem in our league right now. Our players in this league do not put enough emphasis on making sure you're protecting yourself from hits like that. Make sure you absorb hits like that. We've kind of tried to turn this league into a no-hit league. Most people aren't ready to be hit. I think it's a lost art in how you take hits. I do think, looking at the clip, I think Hughes thinks it's icing. A mistake was made. We've got good refs. We've got good linesmen. A mistake was made last night, and what bothers me is we had to suffer for that mistake, losing a player. But I believe the league, it's a no-go. There's nothing wrong with that play. It shouldn't even have been a penalty. It screams to the athletes in our game. Be prepared to be hit because big hits are allowed. Nowadays, I'm so sure because everyone puts their arms up when there's a big hit. It makes me sick what goes on in the league here with big hits. That's part of the game. He goes on to say he hates when people have to fight because of big hits and the league, you know, the players today are not prepared to be hit.
Torts must listen to our show.
Yeah.
Because this has been our take for every year we've done the show is that guys just don't expect it anymore. Mm. And put me in the camp of being disgusted. That was a major last night.
Look at these kids from... The moment they step on the ice as a 6 or 7 year old and the emphasis on skill and the development of skill. Where would receiving a body check be? And it's not even like you can't even practice. Like you can practice, of course, contact, but you don't get that same, you can't repeat it, what you get out of a game in those situations. And I don't know, maybe we just overskilled them and we didn't go back to the basics of what hockey is. And ultimately it's a contact sport until it isn't a contact sport.
Well,
i.e. minor hockey.
I've gone to a few minor hockey games this year, like junior hockey. You've gone and seen the attack play. I've gone and seen the Generals play. It's really the physicality of the game. By the time we're all 10 years older than we are now, the game's going to look different. Because even at the minor hockey level, junior hockey level, hitting is such less of an emphasis. And I'm not saying I like this. I'm saying, in fact, I hate it. But the way the game has changed in terms of what they do to it, like that's not the skill, that's the emphasis.
Yeah.
And the training and everything, like you said, and you see that.
But every once in a while, you get a guy that can do it really well, like Trouba, and he could end your career.
But it's interesting that I think almost at the NHL level, once it becomes all the players who have been the cream of the crop and all the skill stuff get there, at the end of the day, the physical teams still have a great advantage. And you're trying to learn to play that style. It's still hockey at that level in front of 20,000 people, and that's tough. God.
If I had my 17-goal, 325 penalty minutes season.
You have 325 penalty minutes in a season.
Like, what would that have been worth at UFA?
You're an $8 million guy. You know, that's like Tom Wilson.
I don't know where I'd spend it first.
Not doing a radio show with me is my guess.
Not 600 million, but
yeah.
You had 325 penalty minutes in 75 games and scored 17. Did you give 35 minutes of ice time every night? How'd you have time?
Straight lines to the net, baby. Oh,
straight lines to the box.
Oh, my God. 325 is absurd, Kippy.
It's goofy.
That's absurd. Anyways, I love that hit by Hathaway, and I love Hathaway. And that's a guy I wish the Leafs had really gone hard after.
Yeah.
He's like the perfect fourth liner to me because he can
fly. By the way, Hughes takes that punishing blow, then scores a Jack to Luke Hughes OT winner same game.
Awesome Sally, too, in the overtime.
Credit to him.
The bow?
Oh, no, he didn't do the bow.
Yeah, I love that. That's
nice. Think about the emotion, too. It's one thing, like, your teammate, but then your brother as well.
That's so cool. I mean, right? Scoring the OT winner, watching your brother get turned into, again, powder is not great, but.
Yeah.
could pull up Mike Keenan and say, listen, you start playing better or so I'm going to trade your brother. That's what he did with the Twins. Really? Ron and Rich Sutter.
Play better or trade your brother?
Yeah.
That's a hell of a line.
Well, there's a great line.
You know, not to bring up my beloved hometown, but there's this, Anthony Stewart once told me that there was a saying in junior hockey that F around and I'll send you to the sound.
So, oh, yeah.
So I've heard something like that before.
Out west, the joke was always, well, you'll get traded to Flin Flon, which seemed like Nowheresville out west.
You've been to Flin Flon? Never been.
No.
You got any text for us?
Oh, you want to go straight to that?
I don't know. What else you got?
How about the slash? Konecny chases down Brandon Smith and gets baseball batted in the arm. 2-game suspension for slashing, like 2 days after Trouba hit Frederick's head deep over the left field wall. And
that's what he got, 2 games?
He got 2 games.
2 games, yeah.
That was a pretty good whack.
Whacked him. You know, Konecny's a pest. He's a pain in the butt, but you just can't swing your stick like a baseball bat.
Well, you can if you're a Trouba.
That still remains a little baffling. I'm sure they were discussing the factors that went into it to make it look worse than it was, but you still hit a guy in the head.
At the end of the day, you can talk yourself into anything or talk yourself out of anything.
Yeah.
But that one optically was not good for the NHL.
Do they still do those breakdown videos? Remember those videos?
Yeah, very well.
Do they still do that?
Great question. They don't come across my feed if they do.
Because if you were going to sell...
I don't think they do.
Because if you're going to sell the Trouba one, it's intent. That they didn't think he was trying to do it.
For sure.
And it was just like, it was a weird motion.
Yeah,
and
he's
stick
pulling his arm free.
It's pretty clear to sell intent on Smith.
Yeah.
He was trying to break his arm.
The thing with the Smith one is like, that's the play where if it skips off his shoulder pad, you're, you know, Brashear and McSorley. Like, it's a dangerous play.
100%. I do have some texts. You guys ready?
I think I'm ready.
Yep.
I'm never really ready, but we'll give it a try anyways.
How crucial do you think this season is for the Canucks to get Pettersson re-signed and commit long-term? If the season goes downhill, what's the price to trade him, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, he's got one more year. He's eligible to sign July 1st, but he has one more year.
And he's got a QO of $8 million or something.
It's really not much of a different conversation than probably Leaf fans had with Willie Nylander. And here we are going into Christmas and he's not signed, but we'd all be really surprised if he's not a Toronto Maple Leaf this time next year. So the best thing that happened to the Vancouver Canucks was the great start and the real feeling of we've got something special going on. They just traded for a defenseman that should add a lot of depth. So I don't know, Petey, where do you want to go?
Yeah, you know, the fact that he's an RFA after this season, I'm not very nervous for Canucks fans. Like, they have control over him, and he is a very good player, and they'll give him money. You don't lose players like him in his prime. They're going to keep him.
Yeah.
Not that worried about him.
He's really good, but Doug's right. Watched a bit of that Vegas Golden Knights Canucks game last night before my little eyes got too heavy. They were getting schooled. I felt pretty comfortable going to bed.
I saw people tweeting before the game, like Rick Tocchet had talked about how the result doesn't matter, but you want to use this as a measuring stick performance-wise. You know, you want to hang in with them. And I would say that if that is your metric, you would not be very happy with how that game went because the performance was not pretty.
What's your expectations of Patty Kane in Detroit? Do you think he will be a big factor for them or just a run-of-the-mill guy?
I think if he's healthy and he's got the range of motion that he claims he has, then there's just not a world I live in where he won't be successful.
I think they probably have somewhere around 55 to 60 games left. I think he can get 40 points for them, being an effective top six guy on the power play. I don't know that he's going to move the needle much in terms of possession and where they play and how they hang with the big teams.
There's a lot of teams that bet against him. They weren't willing to give him multi-years. They weren't prepared to pay him north of $3 million. So, I don't know. Do they know something we don't about this type of surgery or just the track record alone of other players that have not been successful?
I've heard that the surgery is improved since some of those names on the list got it. Don't worry about me.
If Samsonov is Samsonov expendable now with the way Joseph Woll is playing? Is Martin Jones still a viable backup option to Wall? Free up some cap space.
Stop it. Okay. No, stop it.
No.
Okay. Boys.
No, he's just, you know, Wall is playing well. Samsonov is a 26-year-old, lots of NHL experience, who can play well. He can't just...
Over the last 10 years or so, who's the Leaf player that got away that hurts the most to who they didn't re-sign and found success elsewhere? Thinking McCann, Rask, Durzi, Moore, etc.
I'm going to do you one better. From my time with the Marlies, there's an AHL player who is pretty effective. They made a 2-year, $1 million per year offer to Yanni Gord.
Really?
And Gord chose Tampa, I think, at the same amount.
Really?
He was using the lease for leverage to get a second year, I think.
He was Seattle's best guy last night by far.
You're talking
who got away from the Leafs that could have made it?
In the last 10
Jerry
years.
McCann kind of snuck away. But who else? Carter Verhaeghe was drafted here.
You know who comes to mind for me?
You're going to say Marchment.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No, that was a good one, too. Yeah. Good one.
Trevor Moore.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's killing it.
He's leading the Kings in goals. Revisit
it for me. Kyle Clifford and Jack Campbell.
Yep.
For Trevor Moore.
You know who's underrated?
That is looking like a complete disaster.
So Moore has 11 goals. Carl Grundstrom has 7 goals for LA this year.
That was a different trade. That was the
different trade.
That was
trade. Yeah, different trade. But he has 7 goals playing on their third or fourth line. He runs into everything.
So what did Trevor Moore resign for?
He signed for quite a long time, didn't he?
I know.
We kind of bristled at it. Trevor Moore, cap friendly, quickly.
But would you trade right now?
Oh boy.
Tyler Bertuzzi for Trevor Moore if you're LA?
Oh my God.
No. I would take Bertuzzi 10 times out of 10.
I don't think they would.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
You're out of your mind.
You like
Moore a lot, huh? I like Moore too.
I just, from the first 20 games of the season, I'd say I like Trevor Moore better.
What is 19 points in 20 games this year, 11 goals so far.
What does he make?
$4.2 million.
$4.2 to $5.5. So that's what I'm factoring in, too.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a big deal to me. If I could take $1.5 million and put it somewhere else, I'd take Trevor Moore.
Only pushback on that is when you look at the way the Leafs are, Moore is more of the same. More of the same? He doesn't want that smoke. He doesn't want to go, you know, you want them to punch some people in the face. He doesn't want to do that.
And to your point, I'm not sure Trevor Moore is a guy that could run shotgun all season long with Austin.
Yeah. But cheaper is good. Very effective player.
To me, it's Durzi.
Durzi,
yeah.
Yeah, he's an Owen Sound guy.
But he's a right shot guy who is offensive, can run a power play, young. They could, and wasn't it you that was talking about it was between him and Liljegren?
They offered Liljegren, their choice.
Yeah.
And they chose Durzi over Liljegren.
So we were just talking about Pat Quinn. It's Friday.
I love Pat.
Leave me alone. Yeah. Pat Kane and his ability to come back. What about this Aaron Rodgers now? Does this guy love the spotlight? Like, all of a sudden, he's going to reinvent the Achilles tendon tear.
Yeah.
These QBs.
He knows best.
These QBs are in the limelight for so long, and there's so much talk about them. Think of Tom Brady. Yeah. Think of Peyton Manning. Think of Aaron Rodgers. These guys have just been, everyone talks about them all the time. And Aaron Rodgers tears his Achilles on the first drive, and he's petrified that he's not going to be talked about at all this year. And he goes on Pat McAfee every week.
Egomaniac.
And he talks about how he's going to be back. He's just not.
So
we can stop.
Apparently he's reinvented a way to put two tendons back together and everybody else idiots because they're not drinking bone broth.
Yeah. Listen,
I can't stand
it. I'm a Jets fan. I am not an Aaron Rodgers guy, man.
Probably better than Zach Wilson, though.
Well, you might be.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, our thanks to Bob Beers, the radio analyst for the Boston Bruins. And as always on Fridays, never disappointing, Doug McClain.
Radiator himself.
give me a thought on Leafs in Boston Saturday night.
Bruins 3-1.
Leafs play really great and make us all feel like, they're back.
I think Joseph Wall steals one.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for always joining us on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.